Good morning. How are you today? This is excellent. Welcome to Living Word United Methodist Church. My name is Daniel Shanks. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get to say welcome. I get to say good morning, which is probably the best part about all this. So thank you for joining us in worship. Today we're going to be finishing, wrapping up our sermon series that we've called Love, Walk, Do. And that sermon series, that title, is based off the Micah 6:8 passage. A lot of people know this. This is one of those like quotable scripture verses. It's one of the short places where we actually get an answer rather than a question, right? Like we know what to do. We're supposed to do justice. We're supposed to love mercy. We're supposed to walk humbly. But what people don't always know is the couple verses that come before that passage. You see, it's starting in 6, like it's chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 rather than just 8, we see a little bit more of what's happening. You see, God is upset with the Israelites because I know it's surprising to everyone, they messed up, which is something that they do fairly regularly in Scripture, right? Because we all mess up pretty regularly. So they've messed up, God has voiced God's opinion of this, and now they're trying to figure out how to make it better. And so verse 6 actually starts off, and it's like, what should we come and bow before the Lord with? Should we bring, you know, like rams, maybe some oil? What about burnt offerings? Maybe God wants burnt offerings. And then someone says, maybe my firstborn. Like that person messed up a lot, right? But then the response is not like, yeah, bring all that. It says, no, the Lord requires you to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. You see, it's this idea like God is not an angry banker, right? God is not that person collecting library fines. God does not want our sheep or our oil. He doesn't need these things. He's not up there like, I will make a set of rules. And when Steve, because Steve always messes up, Steve will mess up and he has a lot of oil, so then I'll get oil. That's not God. God does not need our stuff. God wants one thing from us and one thing only. God wants right relationship. That's one of those words that we like to talk about. God wants relationship with us. He doesn't want there to be a need for things like sacrifices. God just wants us to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him. And that's how you maintain right relationship with God. Now, I'm telling you that because today, as I said, we're wrapping up this sermon series. Today, we're talking about justice. And everyone's excited, right? This is one of those words that now makes people kind of shudder. Today, we're going to talk about justice. We're also talking about Thanksgiving. It's a Sunday before Thanksgiving. Most of us on Thursday are going to celebrate, right? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about justice, and we're going to talk about how we maintain right relationship with God. And because we are preparing for Thanksgiving, I have some confessions to make to you. I like to be comfortable. I know that surprises you. I like comfort probably a little too much. How many of you have ever hosted a party, not because you actually cared to have a party, but because you just wanted to stay at your house? All the time. I prefer to host things at my house. I don't like to leave. I know where the bathrooms are. I can go to the kitchen whenever I want. It's fine. I joked with my wife. She actually gives me crap about this a lot. How many of you guys are Harry Potter fans? Some of you. So if I say a Patronus, some of you will know what that is. This is an animal that represents kind of who you are, right? And the running joke in my family is that my Patronus is a panda. Yeah. See, your laugh lets me know that you know what a panda is. If you don't know what a panda is, just imagine a ball of white and black fur that just is majestic. Majestic fur. Yeah, that's a panda. They really don't do a whole lot. If you've ever tried to observe a panda, it's actually quite boring. I remember the first time I got to see one in the zoo. I literally ran through the zoo to get to the panda. The problem was that someone had just fed the panda. Guess what that panda was doing? It was eating. They literally just sit there and eat bamboo. They get in their comfort zone and they just chill. Now see, the problem was I came back like 2 hours later to see if the panda had maybe, I don't know, moved. Sometimes they like fall down things or they roll. No, that panda is still eating. Still same spot, actually reclined about 2 inches. That's my animal. I'm confessing this to you because comfort is a beautiful thing. How many of you would say that you also like comfort? Yeah. Oh, there's some dishonest people in this church. There's that one, like, yeah, no. Friends, we all want comfort. In fact, most of us are willing to be uncomfortable as long as it's for the sake of comfort in the future. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We're moving into Thanksgiving. This is that holiday where we all either really, really want to be comfortable or we are comfortable, right? We eat meals with friends. We sit back. This is the one holiday out of the entire year where people, it's like publicly allowed that people like unbutton their pants after the dinner. At least in my household it is. We're very comfortable people. And the reason I'm telling you this is because comfort is not always a good thing. As I've already said, like, we all have the comfort zone. What happens when people mess with your comfort zone? No one. None of you have ever been angry with someone for trying to call Hulk smash. You're my new favorite youth right there. He said, Hulk smash, don't enter my comfort zone. That's why it's my comfort zone. We keep people out. We try to maintain comfort. And the problem is, when we try to maintain comfort, not only do we kind of not think about other things, we actually tend to forget other things. Pandas, like, one of the problems with pandas is they literally, like, that's all they do is eat. They forget to do other things. They forget to hang out with other pandas sometimes. That's problematic for the panda population. Guys, when we get too comfortable, when we find ourselves there, not only do we try to maintain it, we forget that there are people who aren't comfortable. We forget that there's things happening outside of our comfort zone. We forget that we were uncomfortable once. We forget things. And that's not really surprising, is it? In my head, I'm like, that makes perfect sense. And I started reading this scripture passage for today. It's out of the book of Deuteronomy, which is in the Old Testament. It gets a bad rap, but it's actually quite fun. But God knows that we forget things. It's in scripture. I'm going to read this to you. I want you to pay attention with what God says. This is out of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And it's kind of talking about the Exodus, which I've been talking to the youth about. If you don't know the Exodus story, this is where God hears the cries of God's people, and then Moses and Aaron and Miriam are sent, and they actually free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, right? This is a classic biblical story. We're going to talk a little bit about that because our text talks about it. This is what the scripture says. Remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Sidebar, Jesus quotes that in Matthew 4:4. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister or swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. So obey the commands of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, flowing streams and pools of water with fountains and springs that gush out in the valleys and hills. It is a land of wheat and barley, of grapevines, fig trees, and pomegranates, of olive oil and honey. It is a land where food is plentiful and nothing is lacking. It is a land where iron is common and copper is abundant in the hills. When you have eaten your fill, be sure to praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it is so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble and to test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Be careful. Don't forget. God knew what was going to happen. He had been with the Israelites from the very beginning. It didn't even start with Moses. This story of the Exodus starts when God hears his people. It says, I have heard the cries of my people. Not like one or two. It says all of them. I have heard their cries. And God responded. He saved the Hebrew people. He took them out of slavery in Egypt. Guided them through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. And then gave them good land. Friends, that is like one of the most fundamental stories in our scripture. And I love that God uses this to remind us, like, as soon as you get that good land, as soon as you get to a place where you are self-sustaining, as soon as you become comfortable, that is when you should take care and remember me. Because you may forget. And if you've read these stories, like, people forget all the time. Not only that, they're terrible whiners. They whine all the time, not just like in slavery, like when they are freed, when they're in the wilderness. That's just like the majority of what they do is complain. God does not leave them. God stays with them through this entire process, even in spite of their failings. 2 weeks ago, I actually mentioned that there are two consistents in the Bible, right? God is consistently merciful and people are consistently forgetting. This story, this Exodus story, is not something that is like a one-time deal. Thanksgiving is not a one-time thing. It's not a once-a-day thing. We should be giving thanks all the time, right? And we know that. It's easy to know that. It's harder to do that. But this Exodus story shows us something else. It shows us that God's justice is also that way. It's not a one-time event. It's not a once and done. God didn't just like free them from the Egyptians and then like, okay, see you guys later. He stayed with them through their complaining, through their like inability to comprehend what was going on. He stayed with them. He fed them. They didn't get halfway through the desert and he's like, you guys have eaten a lot of manna, like no more, like I'm cutting you off. He kept feeding them. He kept giving them water. He kept giving them meat. And he kept guiding them. And from that, friends, I got to tell you, like, Thanksgiving is an all-year-round thing. It's something that should be in our spirits. And just FYI, this is like one of those church things. Anything we talk about in church is probably a long-term thing because we talk about it in terms of relationship. Relationships are not just done, right? They're continual. We continually need to give thanks. We also continually need to do justice because justice is a slow burn. And I'm glad for that because otherwise they never would have made it out of the desert. Justice is a slow burn. And here's the good news today. This is the really good news. The Exodus story that we just kind of talked about, it's not done. It's still happening. It happens throughout Scripture. Look at the book of Judges. Look at Jesus. Jesus is another way in which God has redeemed the world, another way that he has moved people from a place of slavery to a place of freedom. The Exodus story isn't done. God is still freeing people from fear, freeing people from anything that bothers them, from addiction, from hate, from violence. God is still performing little exoduses, if you will, throughout time, throughout Scripture. Each and every single one of you has your own little Egypt. I'll be honest, all of you have been in the wilderness. Some of you are probably there today. You're in good company. God is still trying to free you. God is still guiding you. God has not left you. God is still with you. We worship the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. He's still doing stuff. He's not done. This story is continuing in all of our lives, all the time. I don't know a better news than that. God has not abandoned us. God is continually helping us. I want you to remember that as we celebrate Thanksgiving. As we go forth and as we sit down with family members, many of whom are just as broken as we are, right? God is still working in their lives. God is still working in your life. And I always like when we talk about stuff like this, like what do you have to do? Like what's your role in God's continual Exodus story? You as individuals. The biggest thing that I can think of, and this is important, we have to remember, if right relationship with God includes doing justice, then justice demands that we remember in spite of our comfort. God heard God's people crying out. We need to hear the people in our lives who are crying out to us. We don't get to tell them that their cries are invalid. We have to hear these people. We have to remember that we too have been brought out of Egypt in our lives. We too have been liberated. There's a Talmudic saying, and the Talmud is a collection of Jewish writings, and it's actually based off of the Micah passage that we've based this sermon series on, so it fits perfectly. It says, "Do not be overwhelmed by the enormity of the world's grief. Don't let that shake you. Do justice now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you freed to abandon it. Your job as individuals today is to remember, to maybe open your eyes in the midst of your comfort and see who is broken, what is broken in your lives and around you, and where you can be a part of that Exodus story. Where are you helping people towards freedom? Now, if that's you, where does the church fit? Because we're a body of Christ, right? We're not just in this alone. The wilderness was not like just Moses walking by himself. That would have been a very boring story. He had everyone with him. He had an entire nation with him. What are we as the church? Like, what is our role in justice? I think if justice is a slow burn and we have problems remembering, the first and foremost thing that the church does is remind people, right? It is our job as Christians, as the body of Christ, to remind people that the work of justice in our world is not done. To remind people that, hey, not everyone is as comfortable as maybe you are or I am. That comes with some harsh things, by the way. That means we have to remember things that will shake us from our comfort zone occasionally. I got so excited. This is like, I get to preach on the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and I'm going through our book of worship, and I'm like, I found the day where it talks about how to do worship on Thanksgiving. We have a page of it. And I started reading, and then I looked at the bottom, and it said, if you have Native American communities in your place, you need to probably do this worship service with them. You need to acknowledge the fact that while we celebrate Thanksgiving, many Native American communities are celebrating a day of mourning. We need to remember that comfort costs. We need to remember these things. We don't have the luxury of not. If you want to be in right relationship with God, we have to let our hearts break. We have to hear the cries of those going on around us. The other thing that the church can do, apart from helping people remember, is we need to tell our Exodus stories. I had a wise professor one time tell me, he said, "Daniel, you should be able to preach on the Exodus every single Sunday." And he kind of said that in passing. Those words have stuck with me. I mean, guys, this is happening all the time. Look at Scripture. Every Bible story we talk about is an attempt of God to free people. Everything that we do, it relates back to this Exodus story. Do you realize that we're about to celebrate communion? By the way, everything in worship should point to that table. This is where we meet Christ. Jesus was celebrating Passover, which is what the Hebrew people did as they were leaving Egypt. That was so that they would remember Egypt. That was so that they would remember the Exodus story. Friends, when we take communion, it's a reminder that God is still freeing people. We talk about it every Sunday, and we just sometimes don't pay attention. I love quoting the communion liturgy, right? You guys probably hate this by now. But do you realize every single Sunday we say these words? We say, "Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Every single week, we give thanks. Every single week, we practice justice. We remember and love mercy, and we walk humbly, because every single week, we should be reminded that God's work is not done, that we approach this table and are freed. We encounter God at this table, in this place, with all of us gathered. The work is not done, and neither is God. Friends, as we celebrate Thanksgiving today, I hope that this passage will just sink into you. I hope that it will haunt you like it has for me for the last 3 to 4 weeks. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God? Will you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this place where we can gather, where we can worship you, where we can have hard conversations, and where we can be built up by one another. We pray that you would bless us as we continue, that you would bless us as we leave from here, that we would be comfortable and that we would share that comfort with others, that we would be a part of the work that you are doing in this world. We love you, we thank you, and we ask for all these things in your Son Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.